It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast?
I don't know, Will. How you doing, Will?
You know, it's Thanksgiving coming up, and I got invited to a Thanksgiving dinner that I could probably care less about, but I'm going to go to it.
Off, yeah.
Yeah, I'm making the wanking motion in case people can't see this on a non-visual medium. And, you know, Thanksgiving, I have some friends who are always like, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? And unfortunately, I can't invite them to this party. But I also, because we live in this modern age of Facebook and Twitter, I can't lie to them either.
So they know where you're going.
They're going to find out, because if I say I'm not doing anything, they're going to see some photo of me with a drumstick at a thing, and then I'm the worst person
watching
in the world.
Watching softcore pornography on the couch.
Yes, that was a great Thanksgiving you and I once spent, drinking wild turkey and watching softcore porn. So Thanksgiving, it's already a pain in the ass. Although I think anyone who hosts a Thanksgiving party should welcome anybody into their home.
Well, my Thanksgiving is exactly the same every year. We go to my Aunt Jeanette's. We get there at 3:30 p.m. She's already drunk. And it's identical. I cannot, for the life of me, describe... Well, I can't discern, actually, is the proper word. One Thanksgiving from the next, because it's just 20 years of identical evenings. The table is set up the exact same way. The food is the exact same way. Everyone is just slightly older, and that's it. It's an endless just stream of Thanksgiving cheer.
Well, that just sounds wonderful.
It's terrible.
What's been going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast?
Same old. You know, we're getting still about 200 downloads a week, which is awesome, considering that...
42 weeks in, that's pretty good.
We don't have fans, but thank you everyone for downloading. We love you all. And, yeah, just subscribe to the podcast, because that's the way to do it. When iTunes decides to shit the bed, the subscribers end up with...
They're able to hear the content.
Yeah.
iTunes shits the bed.
Then you send us nasty emails. So,
and, you know,
pretty much it.
Like us on Facebook, all that shit. Who's our sponsor this week?
This week's episode is brought to you by the 2000 film Finding Forrester. That movie fucking happened. An old white dude, Sean Connery, helps a black kid write fiction, because apparently black kids are unable to write. They need a magical white person, James Bond, no less, to help them figure out a sentence. So, Finding Forrester, go watch it online, because that movie happened. It's basically the opposite of The Legend of Bagger Vance.
I own the 2-disc Blu-ray uncut director's version.
Well, Will, you are the dog man, to quote Sean Connery from Finding Forrester.
On the show today, we're going to talk a little bit more about Thanksgiving. We're also going to have an enemy that is something I've kind of newly seen, that I always knew was out there, and we're going to discuss
people?
It. Yeah, well. But first, this week, our guests here with us right now, Taylor Negron and Ethan Brosowski. Did I get that right? Because I think I mispronounced it, teasing this on last week's show.
I appreciate that.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, great.
Welcome to the
show.
You know what Ethan's father told me?
Uh-oh.
That please have Ethan change his last name.
Begged. No, he's not kidding. My
really?
Father
yeah,
would...
Say your name again.
Brosowski.
Brosowski.
That is like super Jewy.
I mean, yeah. You know, believe it or not, we have Catholic. There are a lot of Catholics in the family.
Did he have suggestions?
Did you burn
well,
them
no,
at
no.
State?
I mean, I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, the father was like, he'll do so much better if he loses the name.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, Ethan Barrow.
Oh, yes. Well, I always wanted Brooks or Barrett.
Barrett?
And then our friend Malcolm Barrett.
Barrett. That works. Yeah. Wait, what's your mother's maiden name?
Kirstein.
Nah, that's a wash.
Yeah.
You can't do anything with
yeah.
that.
That sounds like a...
I always wanted, like, something I could write under, like, a pen name. E.A. Brooks always sounded really good to me.
That's not bad.
I kind of like that.
Yeah. I would totally change your name.
It's not too
Thanks,
late.
Taylor.
It's not too late to change it. You haven't hit the
no,
level
no, no,
of...
No, I have such fan... I could never do that to my fan base.
They would be confused.
Ellen Burstyn did 10 movies as another person.
As Ellen Berkowitz?
Until she did Box Bar,
Ellen
Dobyshevis.
No, that was...
No, Ellen Burstyn.
Okay, let's take this
on.
Back
Anyways,
for a
good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Now, I met you, Ethan, a few weeks ago, and yeah. you were telling me how you and Taylor are the kings of Echo China.
Together we are the kings of Echo China. We
explain.
We're a cabaret act that you might see in your local Lens Crafters or Sunglass Hut from time to time.
This is true. Ethan really got us a great booking that really cemented the deal. We got a we got an hour at Lens Crafters. And it, for me as a performer, it really was quite a moment.
Well, you know what? At Lens Crafters, in less than an hour, I can get a full fucking eye exam and new glasses.
You know, I think right now, this is my big problem, okay? I'm being too modest. It wasn't a Lens Crafters. I think it was like a it was like a French name, wasn't it?
It's a Hotel de Ville.
Hotel
de
Ville. Hotel de Ville eyewear.
Yeah.
Hotel
Hollywood Boulevard.
Was it a high traffic eye place?
You know what? It was good traffic.
Yeah, there were 3 to 4 people who really.
I mean, some people came in during us. We sing. Ethan plays the piano. I sing my songs. We do an act like the Sunshine Boys.
Okay. Okay.
But older.
But older. We're the Sunshine Boys, and
you're the Sunshine Men.
The Sunshine Men, and we sing, and we're very funny together, and we do patter. And this one man went was having his, I think, his glasses fixed, and he was done. The transaction was done. He got the change, and he looked over and he sat down. He didn't have to.
But he stuck around.
He had his lenses.
He had his lenses, and he stayed. And I, you know, and it's like. You really aren't done until the skinny guy with the glasses sits down.
It was nice. It was nice. That was really, that was a good show. And we do. We've
do you remember that?
Yes, I remember. Are you kidding? It's hard to forget when your audience doubles in size. Nice.
Now, the name, the Kings of Echo China. Should I? Am I just an idiot that I don't know what this means,
yeah.
or does this? What does this name mean?
Wouldn't it be great if I just yes? Next,
well, that's
fine. Next question.
That's your prerogative.
The Kings of Echo China. Do you want to tell them where the name comes from?
I live in Silver Lake.
Okay.
I was born in Echo Park.
Really? You're a native.
I tell people I live in Chinatown.
And he kept saying this. He's like, I live in Chinatown. And I was like, I got furious. I'm like, you don't live just because you live near Chinatown.
You live Chinatown adjacent.
Just because you can drive there does not mean you live there. And so.
So Silver Lake is Echo China? Is that what we're saying?
Well, we just came up with this new place on the map because it's just a new place to be. Echo China.
I would move there if I were so inclined. Now, Taylor, you are, we've seen you in so many films and TV shows, and Ethan, we haven't seen you.
No, in anything.
In anything.
No, in anything.
So, my question is, how did you guys come together? How did you meet and start this thing?
Well, your listeners might be familiar with Craigslist.
I've heard of it.
Come on, we met during...
That's where naked males go to get their dicks off.
No, so. Not just naked males.
No, we met in husband, brother for sister, mother. which is an AOL chat room for highly sexed Mormons.
Nice.
Who I believe are all, you know, if you're a connoisseur of lovemaking, Mormons are the most exciting lovers.
That's
really?
What I hear.
Oh, you know, my friend told me today that in Japan, the women are kind of hairless and submissive.
Get me to Japan.
And so are the men.
Take me out of Japan.
Get me to Japan. Take me out of Japan. See, but it all goes back to Chinatown. I just want to live in Chinatown. I just love the idea of it, and I love the idea of this performing in a Chinese restaurant with a piano, and it's very convivial. It's American Chinatown.
Yeah.
Well, we also performed in Koreatown in New York.
Yes.
At this great in Koreatown, New York on 32nd Street.
Same but different.
The piano is hovering in the air in like a lava flow.
In like a grotto.
Like a lava flow goes through the restaurant.
Can we make this happen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Except there's no banister around the piano.
Does that mean that you fall off?
Well, I mean, you'd be up, you know, like 2 stories up in the air. It's like, it's scary, but it's great.
No, how did you guys meet up then?
Oh, we met through Comedy Central Sit and Spin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask this, Taylor, because I mentioned that, you know, you've been in everything, every sitcom I've seen from Seinfeld, Friends, Curb, you were in Fast Times, Last Boy Scout, all this stuff. Yeah, you've been in everything. I have to ask, when you're, like, out and about, what do people recognize you most from?
Well, it depends on, you know, what subway train. If I'm up in Harlem, I mean, that's like going home. That's like Dolly Levi going to the Harmonia Gardens.
Love it.
Because I did that movie where I brutalized Bruce Willis.
Oh, yes.
And Damon Wayans.
Together?
Together. They cut it out. It was, they said it was too Coolio-like.
If only you couldn't take down more of the Wayans brothers with you. That would have been even bigger.
Well, you know what? Thank God they're not burglars.
Contractually, I can't mention the Wayne brothers. I can't do it.
Now, also, Taylor, and it doesn't matter if we...
If I never work for the Waynes again.
If you never work for... Yeah, no, you could... Right, I mean...
I'm keeping my fucking mouth shut.
Now, the... also, I know you mentioned Sit and Spin before, and I actually saw you perform an essay at the Pez show, a terrific essay about your mother a while back, in
the
May.
The Pez show, yeah.
Yes, then Alex Alexander, friend of the podcast, hosts. And yes. So is that something you do a lot of essay writing, a lot of essay performing?
Yeah, I realized that with stand-up comedy, it wasn't really archival. Like, yeah. I performed the other night, and when I know I did great, but I don't remember what I did. I do not remember anything I did.
It was the best set I've ever seen.
You get up there, and you kind of have an idea of what you want to do.
Well, I think that if you're really prepared, I do a lot of homework. I write a lot, and I read a lot, and then I think some of it goes in. Right. So you just have to be kind of ready to make a left-hand turn at all times. Like during the hurricane, I was in New York, and they had the mayor said, you must have a to-go bag. And I was like, what's going to go in the bag? You know, is it like, do I want new socks? Should I just go down and get new socks? If it is a disaster, I should have new socks.
Well, you know, these doomsday preparers, the people who are convinced that the world's going to end, they have what they're called their bug-out.
Bug-out.
Yeah, like it's either their bug-out bag or the bug-out cabin.
Oh, what does that mean, the bug-out?
That's like where they go when the shit hits the fan. So when the smallpox hits or when... The
How long
bomb
can
hits?
Grape nuts
like
last?
You need, yeah, it's like, what's in your bug-out bag? You know?
That's even, that scares me when you say bug-out bag.
That's what they have, though.
I know, but
just
it's
saw this.
Saying
I didn't even. I just. It's funny you mention because I just the other day on the television on the on
you
not
know
on the internet.
Yeah.
No, it was on the Nat Geo. They have this
That's
show
exactly
where
the doomsday preparers.
They're crazy.
They're insane people.
Oh,
but you know what?
Just
a
doomsday
show. Joke's gonna be on us. They have a bug out bag and we don't.
Yeah, but they have bug out bags for like specific things. Like they have. I'm only prepared if there's a smallpox outbreak.
Well, it's actually good that we have Taylor because Taylor's a bit of a an apocalypse maven. He we only have how many days left? 40. Something like
no,
that?
No, I think we have 39.
That's it?
For the Mayan apocalypse?
For the end of the world.
Friday night, Shabbat. I'm going to be doing a Shabbat dinner. Also, the Shabbat before Christmas. Merry Shabbos, Mayan apocalypse. It's going to be amazing.
Well, God bless. That's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's going
to
be amazing.
There's a nice synagogue
Shabbat
I go
dinner.
To on Amsterdam Avenue. Maybe I'll go up there because they do. You could do yoga before the apocalypse.
Now, let me try to reel this back in for a second.
No, please do.
And Ethan.
Yeah, Val.
Now let's talk about your career. Oh,
this will be.
So that doesn't exist.
How much did we talk about, Tarek? I want at least double the time.
Now, you have achieved something, though.
I've achieved many things in my short and illustrious life.
Well, this particular thing is a thing that I know Sean here would be very jealous of. You were
on... I will cut you.
You were on Jeopardy.
That's a fact. You can't ever take that away from me.
This man, his dream is to be on Jeopardy.
I was a contestant. I did the second round of auditions.
Got it.
I went to the Radisson.
Like the Radisson on Sentinella or whatever it is.
I had the asshole do the fucking thing.
I think his name is Glenn and he's a nice guy, but that's neither here nor there.
I answered 49 out of 50 questions on the second round of questions. They had us go up, do a little fake thing.
Mm-hmm.
With the buzzers,
yeah.
I was a little nervous. I fucked it up a little bit.
How do you fuck it up?
I misanswered a question.
What was the question? Do you remember?
It was about Thomas Jefferson.
Do you remember? Can you phrase it in the form of an
he
answer?
He said, this president was the first to do something.
Oh, who was Thomas Jefferson?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I said George Washington, and then he looked at me, and he's like, no, that's not right. Try again. And
did he look at you with, like,
horror?
Well, here's
the problem. He re-asked the question to me, so I looked at him, and I said, Thomas Jefferson. He's like, yes, that's right.
Oh.
So...
Big guy or thin guy?
Little guy.
You know all the Jeopardy people?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not just
what
me.
What happened was, basically, I re-answered the
question. By the way, I like that we're getting the story of it from the guy who wasn't on Jeopardy.
I can't tell you how many people I know who were called in the last month. I was called, I think, after... I guess it was only 6 months after.
How was being on Jeopardy like?
Amazing. I mean, it's the thing about being, and for me too, it was a lifelong dream.
It's amazing. It's
a lifelong dream.
Jeopardy
I remember,
is the best.
My family and I always used to watch Jeopardy. I was on the Brainstormers team when I was in high school. When I was in high school, both my brothers were also on Brainstormers, and they did far better than me. They went on TV to like the Channel 12 Long Island thing, and so I always felt like I didn't achieve, and I think I was trying to somehow
one up them.
Jeopardy Trump. So it was a lifelong dream of mine, wanted to be on it, and I called my parents on Erev Yom Kippur to tell them I had that I was going to be on Jeopardy.
Were they so excited?
Well, to be perfectly honest, and maybe my parents will listen to this, I'll tell this story, and if they listen to it, they can know I've dined out on the story for years. I call them, so I come from a family, and we watch Jeopardy all the time. Can't think of a thing that would excite them more. I love my parents, and I'm close to them. I call them up. I live in New York, on Long Island. And I say, guys, I finally got word. They knew I auditioned for it. I'm going to be on Jeopardy 3 months from now. I'm going to be taping. And I found out just an hour before Yom Kippur. And so my father, they're both on the phone. My father says, and these are quotes. These are as quote as I can remember. I'm fairly certain that they're verbatim. My father says, great, you could use the money. And my mother says, and God bless her, I do love her, great, I hope you don't go up against anybody good. And that is a fact. That is a true story.
How'd you end up doing?
I did good. I won. I won one day, and then I lost my the next day. But you know what they call a one-time Jeopardy champion?
Jeopardy champion.
You win one day Jeopardy. That will always go on your resume.
Yeah. Jeopardy champion will always be there. And then I, you know, fell into this group that are now many of my closest friends are all Jeopardy champs. Also, there's this whole like underground circuit.
There's like a community.
There is a community, including my very good friend Brad.
Well, let's. Yeah. Let's move on from Jeopardy.
I can never move on from Jeopardy.
I know you can't. And
over Macho Grande? No, I don't think I'll ever be over Macho Grande.
Now, another thing that I found curious that you told me about yourself, and we are recording from your place, by the way,
palatial estate.
We're not in the Will Sean Podcast Studios. We're on the road today. And you told me that your couch was actually not your couch. It was John Hamm's couch.
That's John Hamm's couch. That's a fact.
Now, question.
And to be fair, it's John M. and Jen Westfeldt's couch. In fact, it was Jen probably bought it, but it was in the home of Jen and John.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
John Hamm, he's doing well.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
But what if he comes asking back for his couch? Do you think that now this is your couch, would you give it to him?
I will say it here and now and forever. John, you are always welcome back in this house, and we can discuss the couch. Here's what I'll say about this. John can have the couch back. I feel like if John ever asked for that couch back, He's probably in dire straits. I feel like
shit's not going well
over at AMC. If he needs my pull-out couch that he's had for 30 years, I think
maybe after the apocalypse.
I think that's the apocalypse couch.
Yeah, the apocalypse.
That's exactly.
Why would anyone?
No, that's the first place. The first place I'm going now is
John Hamm's couch.
John Hamm's couch. Mm-hmm. In event of nuclear
holocaust. I think John Hamm's couch is playing at the Troubadour tonight.
I have a lot of weird stories about furniture in Los Angeles. That's John Hamm's couch. That's Spencer Garrett's love seat. He's a great actor as well. And when I have a Tempur-Pedic mattress, and I used to have another one that I sold when I moved out of L.A. for a little bit, and Jennifer Carpenter bought it. You might know her Dexter and the Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Yes, I know her from both these things.
He also has Jennifer Lopez's scale.
I told you that in confidence.
On, Taylor, explain that.
I made that up. But I lived in Judy Garland's house.
Is it full of pills and craziness?
Well, there was constant tornadoes.
Well, Taylor, another thing I wanted to ask you, and we were kind of, actually it was coming up before the show a little bit, but I had read that you had directed a show about Telly Savalas.
Yeah, I directed a show called Who Loves You Baby? It was a musical salute to Telly Savalas.
Now, what made Telly Savalas like the ideal candidate that you wanted to be?
Somebody who I never really looked at, I didn't really care about. I thought he was kind of really ultra sleazy, that kind of dinosaur part of the women's movement. The women's movement would hate Telly the most because he was a real Greek, macho guy. But then these people came to me who wrote it and created it and said, he is our role model to be masculine.
Really?
Yeah, like, your guys, your age, like your generation. And he said, oh, well, this guy can really be a man, and we have no role models to be men. And I thought that was a great
kind of, interesting.
I mean, I had to explore that, because women have, the women's movement, and men are now like, you all.
Hey, I'm not. Hey, he's the one running home.
He's the one that's vomiting in Mercedes.
Get it together.
That was 4 years ago.
No, but Telly Savalas, he is a man. Like, he's a man's man.
Great guy, great Greek, took care of his mother, good father.
And you're from Long Island.
Yeah, I grew up on Long Island.
Every diner on Long Island, at least when I was in high school, has an autographed photo of Telly Savalas.
Yeah, he was around.
100%.
He must have went to every diner, like me.
The guy loves Zubaki. What do you want me to tell you? He loves it.
No, he did his big show, Kojak, for gambling debts.
Really?
Yeah, to pay back gambling debts.
God.
I mean, he was a real gambler. And, you know, I think that was kind of... This Hunter Nelson who wrote it is so talented because he really wrote a show about the insanity of excess and sexual excess.
It's an extraordinary show. They did
really
an incredible
is.
Job.
And Tom DeMena plays Telly Savalas, and they're like this brilliant team where they capture this insane... Dada version of being a man.
When did you put this on? When was
well,
this?
Well, I was at the Edinburgh Theatre Festival doing my show, and I met them, and then I thought that would be a fun show to do. That would be kind of away from me.
Yeah, so something a little different.
Yes, yeah, so I'm so sick of myself. So it was great to like think about all that. And it ran for a year and a half.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Today, it looks like it's going to go to Joe's Pub. We just did it in Vegas.
That's awesome.
And it's great. And it's like
any plans to do it again out? Here in L.A.?
No, you know, I think Vegas is better for Telly.
Okay. That makes sense.
But Ethan and I are doing the Kings of Echo China, which is really great because it's music-centric. I think music is very good for comedy.
Now, let me say this. Before we move on to some other stuff that doesn't necessarily involve you guys.
Nothing involves us.
I have glasses, but I don't need new glasses anytime soon. So where can I go to see you guys besides
outside of
Lenscrafters?
You know,
like, where can the people listening to this, where can we all go down to see the Kings of Echo China?
I wish at this moment we had a place to plug, but, you know, Taylor is spending most of his time in New York now, and I'm here in L.A., so we haven't... had a new gig now.
We're probably going to have a gig in New York before we have one here.
Yeah, my guess is we'll do it again in Koreatown.
Cassie J. Snyder knows where to go.
Any listeners or previous guests from New York, if it happens to be at Christmas time, I'll be in New York.
If you don't need glasses.
I'm doing a very big show on the 14th in New York in December.
I'll still be here.
Well, your customers.
What are you doing?
I'll let them.
What are you doing now?
I'm doing an evening at Café Wa.
Oh, yes, that's right. Down on McDougal.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to some things that have been going on in the world.
Yeah.
And Ethan, I was talking to you earlier, and you
know, I really enjoyed that, by the way.
It wasn't that wonderful?
It was pretty magical for me.
And there's a lot of scandals going on in the world.
Yes.
But right now, there happens to be one that people aren't really talking about, and I know you're a little obsessed with, and it's about McAfee. Now, explain to our listeners...
with this scandal.
Explain to our listeners this scandal.
Well, I'm going to Google it to make sure, because I Googled it 10 hours ago, and nothing had happened, so I want to make sure that...
the most up-to-date
Yeah, I
want to
make sure that we're current.
This is a much more interesting scandal to me than, like, General Petraeus, which I've lost interest in.
Well, that's not a scandal. Somebody had sex, no big deal. I mean, anyway.
Yeah.
The McAfee scandal is as follows. This guy, who invented McAfee security, which is on almost every computer, in the world...
Yeah.
Invented it, made millions and millions of dollars. Everyone said he was becoming a little crazy. Then he moved to Belize, and everyone like knows him. Says the guy's a little off, and he got more and more paranoid. And now all the stories are coming out. It's like when you find out a serial killer lived next door to you. It's all like, yeah, I saw it coming. So he moved down there, and apparently he had these four dogs in addition to his team of security that would protect him at all times. And apparently they were all very loud. And one morning last week, he wakes up and these four dogs are dead, just dead. And his neighbor, who had complained about the dog, they apparently had a fight about it. And then the next morning, this neighbor is shot in the back of the head, and McAfee gone.
So clearly,
this is he couldn't be more guilty in the court of public opinion. And not only this, but Belize, the Prime Minister of Belize, has like issued. You know, it's a smaller country, has issued a call for him to, like, come back. We just want to talk to you.
And we're just friends. It's cool. Just show up.
We just need to know what's going on. And he has been communicating with this reporter
from
Wired Magazine. Yeah. And he'll call him and start leaving these strange voicemails about, like, I don't know why Belize wants to come after me. I didn't do anything. Like, of course you did it. You're calling people to tell people you didn't do it. That's what you do.
They always have to talk. They always have to confess.
So you're telling us that you can never go back to Belize is what you're telling
us.
Exactly.
He's going to be on the run for the rest of his life?
Well, let's find out. I mean, the thing about Belize is, I mean, I'm not saying that they're a corrupt country, but you could easily take a speedboat and go to Guatemala or go to some of the other Caribbean
islands. Yeah, you could get out of
country
Belize.
From, what was the...
Parador?
No, what was the movie with... Robert Redford and
that was Bolivia. You're thinking of Bridget Sundance.
When do you say, okay, I'm just going to shoot my neighbor? That's just the easiest way out of this.
When you're insane.
Is it? He's insane.
You have to be.
When you're insane.
Right.
But it's a.
I think if you shoot somebody, you know, you have to be
it's
insane.
It's a sexy insane.
Well, I mean,
it's on the run.
I spent time in Costa Rica. I know there's gorillas in the mist.
Tell us about your time in Costa Rica.
Oh, it was hideous. I got struck by lightning. It looked like I was like an X-ray. No, this was a movie called Surf School.
Oh, okay.
But we were making it in Costa Rica, and there is that allure when you're out of the country that you can do anything. Americans, you know, these pompous Americans.
Oh, yeah, we can do whatever. We can trample on everyone's.
Yeah, and they can snap their fingers.
I feel like before we move on from McAfee, I just Googled it. Update. He is hiding in plain sight, he says, wearing a disguise as he watches police and reporters stake out his house and blogging all about it. He's blogging, but they won't say where he's – the AP won't say where he's,
Ethan,
he's blogging
you know what
from.
I thought you said? I'm hiding in Plains, Georgia.
That's right. He's in Plains, Georgia.
Let's put it this way. If any Will Sean podcast listeners are out there and you see McAfee –
bring him on the podcast.
We want him as the next guest.
Just do yourself a favor and go and look up the McAfee scandal.
You know where McAfee's from.
Where's that?
Bye Bye Birdie.
This is Mr. McAfee.
Yeah, that's Mr. McAfee.
Ed Sullivan.
Ed Sullivan.
Mr. Now, another thing that happened in this past week.
I would
week.
Love it if John McAfee sounded like, go ahead.
From Bye Bye Birdie, yeah.
You know, it sounded like, not Charles Nelson Reilly, who is it? Paul Lynn.
Now, another thing that happened in this past week, and I don't know if you care about it, either of you, but
probably not.
Although you said that you and Taylor would be passionate about every topic.
Taylor?
I do have an opinion. Go.
Yeah.
Go, I can't wait.
It's going to be the one thing that you don't care.
Twinkies.
Yeah, we've been talking about all
this. This, I haven't had a Twinkie probably in about 5 years, and yet, the fact that I know there might no longer be Twinkies, and that I will have children, one day who might never know what a Twinkie is, and here we have Twinkie the kid. I'm holding in my hand.
My child will never know what it's like to have labor laws.
Ah, okay.
You know, or my child will like never know what it's like to pick cotton.
But there's a big difference between picking cotton and eating a Twinkie.
Can I point out that growing up as an Orthodox Jew, I never had a fucking Twinkie. I've never eaten a Twinkie. I don't know what they are.
Oh, because it's all dangerous for you?
For me, this is bullshit, because they're made out of, like, Twinkies were always made out of, like, pig's blood.
Were you explaining it?
Yeah, they're extruded.
Extruded.
So you have love.
What's that?
You have no love for Twinkies.
You know what? I growing up here, I thought they were. We used to read what was in them, and there was ho hos and the snowballs, and the snowballs were really dangerous. They were outlawed in 1979.
Did you have the white or the pink ones?
The pink ones.
I bet you did.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you don't know any Hostess products?
No, nothing.
I'm hoping that, maybe no more Twinkies, but maybe Drake's products can hit the national scene.
No, see, this is the problem with America. Well, you don't even know. You're a fan, and you grew up in New York, and you don't even know that Drake's has been made by Hostess for the last 20 years.
Are you fucking
so
with
Drake's
me?
Drake's are gone. No coffee cakes, no yodels, no ding dongs. Drake's is gone. And my favorite, now, Yankee Doodles are part of my favorite, but also my real favorite that I'm really upset about. I love Twinkies, but Devil Dogs is the
Devil
real
Dogs
loss.
Were the fucking best.
The real loss.
No yodels, no Drake's coffee cakes. Yes. The classic episode of Seinfeld. You got to know that, Sean, the Drake's coffee cakes.
I mean, you guys can't see us, but, Will told you we have Twinkie the Kid right here.
I
have a holder that's designed to put in lunchboxes and put a single Twinkie inside.
I think the person right now, like who I am, if I wanted to put my head to it, I could probably make my own homemade Twinkie.
I want
And it would be so good. And I would also intrude it.
I want to hold you.
Etruscan.
I want to hold you to this, and next time I see you,
I'll do it. I'll go down to Gelson's right now and get the stuff.
This is what we're doing after the podcast.
We were talking early this weekend to see we were trying to
fucking Twinkies.
Taylor's Twinkies.
We wanted to go and get like a stockpile of Twinkies, but we didn't do it.
Well, there's one thing.
Well, they're on eBay right now. They're going for $1,000 a box.
I'm sure if we go to Gelson's,
no, they're not. They're going $1,000 a box.
Maybe the Twinkies get what they deserve for killing Harvey Milk.
Oh, the Twinkie defense.
The Twinkie defense. Gus Van Sant, who directed Finding Forrester.
Oh, I love how you went to a movie instead of like the actual event, which movie was talking about.
I'm getting people together. I'm going to buy the name Hostess, and I'm going to rebrand
Taylor Negron Hostess.
Yes, and I'm going to rebrand it as a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Now, moving on real quick because you know God knows we're going to run out of time here.
Oh, why did you move on? I thought that was funny.
No, it's good. It's good. But we got to move on. Ever since I met you at the Improv.
Yeah, we were watching all of our friend of the show, friend of us, Wayne Fetterman, Midnights at the Improv.
Yes. Great free midnight shows every Thursday night. Of course, that's not going
until
on.
Until February.
It'll be back. But, you know, great shows. I've never really hung out at comedy clubs.
Okay.
I'm not a comedian.
You're funny, though.
Thank you.
You got it.
But
that's what my mom says.
But what happens is, I've always known that at these clubs, people, they're hecklers. There are people who heckle the comics sometimes. But I've never really seen this in practice because I'm not hanging out at comedy clubs. But because
until
I've been,
the other night.
The other night.
You saw that. You were there?
The other night, yes.
I told him about it.
The other night, I was watching the Wayne Fetterman Show. Very funny show.
Hilarious.
And
world-class comedians.
There were these two girls sitting behind me, and they were kind of talking loudly about their Twitter account.
Yeah.
And Todd Glass, the comic, funny guy, on stage, kind of politely but sarcastically told him to be quiet.
At first.
And then they started saying things like, I thought we were here to see a comedian. I thought we were here to see a comedian. And they started saying these things a little loudly.
Yeah, they were out there to make a problem.
To make a scene for themselves. And Todd Glass lost his mind and yelled at them. But I had no problem with it because
it was
great.
He took them to task.
It was
Todd
great.
Yelled at them?
Oh, yes. Badly. It wasn't funny. He was like, it went crazy.
It went from...
And he was right, 100% right.
It went from funny to uncomfortable to funny again for me, personally. Now, here's the thing. I never really understood these people. They're coming out here. They're coming out on a Thursday night at midnight just to make a scene and yell at people, these hecklers. I don't know why they even leave the house. I don't know what they're achieving from this. I found it incredibly annoying and frustrating. I don't know why the audience doesn't drag them out into the street and beat them to death. And that is why you comedy hecklers are the enemy of the podcast this week.
Oh, that's what I knew we were
going
to it.
And fuck you, you two girls, one of which apparently was on True Blood. Go fuck yourself.
Not just on True Blood.
These girls, hecklers are girls.
These girls. These hecklers.
No, but I mean, I've been in this business forever.
Thank you. I said that.
There really are a lot of, but you, what are you, the, you know, the girls are so, and I realize that now they're NFL girls. Girls are now being indoctrinated into being sports fans.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're like, yeah, and then they're out. They make a fist, and then the fist comes down and hits somebody or knocks nachos around. And it's like, you know, you're just a dangerous girl now. And, I mean, seriously. And you've got all that energy, but as bridal parties, you know, when they
I can only imagine. Yeah.
You know what? You cannot be mean to these people. What I do, what I've done...
Yeah, how do you take care of
it? What I'll do is I'll just say, come up on the stage, just sit down, and then I'll just sit down with her, and then we experience 5 minutes of pure silence. and then it's like there's no ending. It's like, no, just take as long as you want
sit
to
down,
have a thought, and maybe to amuse us, you're going to entertain us. We'll be here. They're paid. Just sit, and it's a Jedi mindfuck.
If I was a comic, I would be murdering people. Is this just something that's somewhat accepted that you're going to have to deal with?
I did it once in Worcester, Massachusetts. That was the beginning of the end for me. Stupid Chinese restaurant. It burned down. But I said, this bitch.
It deserved it.
This woman was sitting down alone.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, imagine she didn't have like buddies, cohorts there. She was by herself. And
brave.
And I said something, and she went, ugh. I delivered the pizza to Sean Penn. Without me, there'd be no Sean Penn.
Love it.
And then she says, and then I go, hey, yeah, so I'm Puerto Rican and Jewish. And she went, oh, get over it. Get over it. You try being the cast of Lilies of the Field. And I was not in the mood for this because it was like, you know, I was like tired. I think I had too many lobster rolls that day. And I said, you know, the guy comes out and he says, would you like me to let her give her the heave-ho? And I said, you know what? You are going to go take her out, take her out, take her out.
Take her out, take
what
her,
I
take
said,
her out.
I said to the audience, I said, when you can no longer see her, yell together this word, cunt. And I got 200 people to go, cunt. That's, and I went, my work is done.
I wish we could have done that the other night.
That's fantastic. I wanted to call those women. The only reason I didn't, and now I'm going to say, fuck you, Ethan.
I know.
Because you invited them.
I did.
So that's the only reason I didn't the turn around and call them a cunt.
You didn't.
I thought, you know, I thought I was being a nice guy. I mean, you know, it's a midnight show. They're friends of friends. Very, very drunk.
Friends of friends. And I, think they I don't were, like friends of friends.
And I think they were, I mean, I can't think
of
that.
If you hear that, I'm a friend of a friend. Ban them.
Yeah. They came, they were very excited about it, and they showed up, and they were horrible. And the thing is, I should have, I mean, I don't know if I should have known, but we were, you know, back to
how
what we were
would
saying
you
before.
Know? You
in your years of stand-up, has a man ever been a heckler like that?
No.
Never. It's all, it's
always
stupid
drunk chicks.
Women. I don't know why.
Well, let me actually, you know, we're having a comic come on in mid-December, coming on the show, who actually, it was just, there's a YouTube video going around. His name's Jake Weissman, and he was doing a show in New Orleans, and someone was, a guy actually, was heckling him, and he brought the guy on stage, mm-hmm. and when the guy came on stage, cocaine fell out of the guy. Guy fell out of his pocket, and he did this great thing where he convinced the guy to leave because the cops were going to arrest him now because he had this cocaine on him.
I think it's people who don't like being who don't like talking to other people. You know, I grew up going to the Comedy Cellar. That's where I'm not a stand-up, but that's where like I learned about comedy in New York on Long Island. And so the Comedy Cellar was, you know, in on McDougal, actually, right near Cafe Wah. And I grew up going there, and I was young. I was like 14, 15 when I started going, and I'd stay very late. And guys like Dave Attell, Jim Norton, Louis C.K., they would just eviscerate me. And me and my friends were these young kids, and we were together. Hung out with them afterward, and they were with us. We were part of the show. And I think you have to, you learn to be part of that. You're doing a play. When you're with a stand, when you're in a stand-up, it's a theatrical experience that happens. And hecklers don't understand that, and they're probably awful audience members also.
But the culture has taught us that everybody thinks they are on their own reality show.
Yeah. Right.
So there, it's not about the comic, it's about them. Look at me, I'm here,
exactly.
And there's a comic behind me.
And I think, you know, I said those girls were talking about Twitter at first, and I think that whole, and we were talking right before we started about, like, Blackberries and iPhones and stuff like that, and that really feeds into it. Like, I have to tweet this now because people must know this now. You know, and like I said, I don't have experience seeing these people in comedy clubs, but I do at movie theaters, which is even weird.
Yeah,
which is
bad.
Even worse. And I just read that Cinemark theaters now have an app that rewards its customers for not texting and using their cell phones. Like, you have your cell phone in the pocket, and if as long as you don't text anything or talk, they give you coupons.
That's the Joshy app. But where's the brain going? Where are we evolving for certain people?
Exactly.
Certain people are going really fast. I mean, I use the internet to download stuff from the Vatican.
Well,
just to relax.
We're accepting this shit too much. Like the woman who's next to me at Lincoln tweeting or texting. Didn't she come here to see Lincoln? Yeah. Why did she?
Oh, did you see Lincoln?
I did see Lincoln.
Okay, just emergency.
Go see Lincoln.
Go, go. You go. Give me the Lincoln in one paragraph.
He does.
Or in one paragraph.
Daniel Day-Lewis, go see Lincoln. It's amazing.
Honestly, it's a really passionate and interesting look at how an amendment is passed.
This is it sounds so boring.
No.
An amendment to me is an amendment.
If you see Lincoln and you hate it, I will let you hit me in the face.
Oh, I would never hit you in the
no,
face.
No, please.
That's a really
you know, but I will
that.
Blow Lincoln away. I'll shoot him again.
Lincoln is amazing.
Too soon.
Too soon.
Let me say this to anyone who's listening. If you're listening and you think you are doing a good thing by going to movie theater and putting your phone on vibrate, that is not good enough. I want to be very clear about that.
I turn mine off. I turn mine physically off.
Well, how many times did you see the Cloud Atlas?
I saw Cloud Atlas 3 times in the theater.
Is it just about clowns?
It's Clown no, Atlas.
Cloud Atlas.
But Clown Atlas. I had five callbacks for Clown Atlas.
Clown I'm,
they hey. Said my mouth was too long.
And when you are in Clown Atlas, I will see that three times.
That's great in Clown Atlas.
Changed my life, that performance.
Yeah, I delivered the elephant.
I mean, look.
It's an awesome fucking movie.
I saw, the only time, I mean, that's when I know if I'm in a physical altercation, mm-hmm. it will be in a movie theater when someone's talking.
Well, I told you this story. I'm a very docile gentleman. I've only raised my fist to very few people in my life, and one of them was at a movie theater. I was like,
and
dude.
Once at a lens crafter. Apparently, I went off key.
I called.
He's so good with the kids, though.
I did call an elderly woman a cunt during The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah.
I almost hit
somebody tells her there was a little girl. She was like 17 years old. I was like 20 or something when it came out. And I tapped her. I flicked her in the ear. I was like, shut the fuck up. What are you laughing at? What are you laughing at? Two attractive young men in a bath together playing chess? What's funny about that?
I once called somebody a cocksucker in a porno called Love Finds Andy Hard. Richard Whitley and Jamie Klein came up with that. That's the funniest porno name ever. And then also seven grooms for one brother.
Now, before we start to wrap up.
Oh no, we didn't.
I want to take off my top.
Well, that's,
I was just
you
about
can do
to
that.
Put on my bottom.
This is the radio.
If we go
right now, we're on a boat.
Yeah, we're doing this whole thing out at sea, mm-hmm. apparently bottomless.
Exactly.
Now,
where are my pants?
This is how Natalie Wood died.
What are you guys doing for Thanksgiving?
Turkey.
Yeah.
Turkey and what I'm doing, I was on this search for rhubarb today. It didn't work out.
So no rhubarb, no Thanksgiving.
Tune in next week to find out what happens.
No, you know what? I'm just so glad to be in California. I'm not going to be in New York because I don't like what they do to the balloons there.
Animals.
I mean, on the Macy's Day Parade, those balloons are kept in cages. They're forced to wear makeup and have heat tension. I mean, it's the most bizarre thing to see. Yeah. Have you seen that in New York?
Of course, I used to go.
The balloons are all – it's the saddest, most claustrophobic thing.
My father used to work at 1414 Broadway, 1400 Broadway, and I used to we used to go to his office and watch the parade. But as much as I miss New York in the holidays and stuff, truth is, and I'm going to say it here on your show first – I don't ever want to go back to New York for November, December, January, ever again.
I am going home for Christmas, and I went home for Christmas 2 years ago. I got stuck in a blizzard.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
I never want. I told my mom we have to have Christmas in July.
It's
going to
be 79 degrees on Thanksgiving. It's going to be perfect. And P.S. for your listeners in L.A., Thanksgiving is the best day to be in Los Angeles. It's such a pleasure to be here for Thanksgiving.
Ask me a question.
Okay, what's the over-under on how many people will be trampled and killed on Black Friday?
Seven.
Oh, probably. It's really hard to believe that. Why would anybody do that?
I know. I don't understand. I have an aunt who does that.
Well, now they do online Black Friday. So someone's going to get trampled at their laptop. Yeah, I will be indoors from Thursday until Saturday.
Now they do these things where they're open on Thanksgiving. And these poor people have
That's
to now
fair.
Work on
That's
Thanksgiving to...
It should be, I mean, it is a national holiday. I don't know what the problem is. It's they shouldn't do. I don't know why it suddenly became okay to be open on holidays.
And people are like going like, I got to be there at 2 a.m. to get, what, to get like
$5 off your Barca lounger? Yeah.
Well, I think six people will be trampled and killed.
No, I said seven. Yeah,
you said seven?
Yeah, okay. I said seven. I think, and it's going to be, and her name is going to be Charisse is going to be one of them.
I go down there and volunteer.
Yeah, to help the, like for the triage.
In case anything, you know, I carry things out.
Okay.
You know, like sometimes at Costco, they'll buy too many tortillas.
So you carry the extra tortillas. That's doing, you know, some people go and feed the homeless on Thanksgiving. You help the shoppers load their cars on Black Friday.
Well, a lot of people don't know this about Taylor. He's a giver. Taylor loves to give back to the community.
I'm a giver.
You know what? There's a Costco up in Burbank. I'll meet you there at 4 a.m. on Black Friday morning.
I noticed this, though. The best part about Costco, and maybe you know this, is you used to go there to get Hebrew National hot dogs. No longer. The 50-cent Hebrew National hot dogs, now they're like Kirkland hot dogs.
I didn't think I'd hear you talk about Kirkland products today.
That's all I talk about. I'm surprised you didn't think that was going to happen.
Taylor, Ethan.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us.
It's been a
Thank you for having me. You guys are great. You two are really smart and articulate and great.
Did you notice how he said thank you for having me and I said us? I'm not a therapist, but I'm just saying.
What did I say?
No, you said thank you for having me and I said us, but that's fine.
I can't take
it. Seriously, thank you.
This is what happens when you do an act.
Yeah.
This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, for us too.
Oh, it was more fun for some.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Is there a way, do we have like a website or anything that we can figure out when you guys are doing
horrible,
your thing next?
It? I wish we did. We're very underground.
Do you know, we're right now one of the most difficult parts of being a comic right now and doing what we do is that people record you. You do this, you do the phones, the Michael Richards thing. I mean, you can't go in there and say, you know, like last night I had an abortion. You can't say that because then
funny
it's like
story.
Great warm stories like that. So that's why we perform in eyeglass stores.
We're guerrilla performers.
We're guerrilla. We really are. And so you never know. We could be at a tuxedo house.
We're playing fire tux on Ventura.
By the way, I am going to go to every tuxedo house in the hopes of seeing a...
We will... The next show we have up, we will... We'll make sure you know.
You tell me.
Yep.
I'll put it on the Will Sean Podcast Facebook page.
Thank you.
So everyone
thank you. And also
out.
For you know, the people out there who listen, and I listen to a lot of these things, you give them something to look forward to, and then they're going to say, oh, there's the Kings of Echo China. I want to hear that.
Right. Exactly.
You know... I sing It's Not Easy Being Green, but I do it from like what it's like to what is it to protect the environment?
Yeah. Green because it's I believe you're using synecdoche. Is that even right?
Yeah, that's I have to refer, because he's so smart. He has all the big words.
No, let me.
I can only say phlegm and avuncular.
Are either of you guys on Twitter? Can
people
follow you
on Twitter? The last tweet he did, I think, was 1978.
It was a tweet made entirely of wood.
But yeah, you can follow me. I'm at some pig with two G's. I think
oh God, which is like a you know not a Charlotte's Web reference.
and
some pig.
Yeah, with two G's.
I don't like that.
Well, I didn't ask you, did I?
I thought we were enough sometimes.
Love it.
And Taylor, well, if I mean you're not tweeting, but you have a Twitter handle. What is it?
Well, first of all, when I sext, I send pictures of my genitals online, but I have a rotary phone, so it hurts, and it takes hours. I'm on Facebook, and you know I live in New York, and I live near Central Park near Diana Ross.
Yep. Okay, well there you go. That's all you need to know.
If you know where Diana Ross lives, I live right across the street.
What's a Diana Ross?
What's a Diana Ross? It's kind of like a LaToya Jackson, but only taller.
Well, you can follow me at The Real Will Link. Yes. You can also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on The PM Show with Larry Minetti on crntalk.com, where I review movies. I review the latest episode. I review Lincoln and The Sessions, because nothing's better than John Hawkes in an iron lung.
You have a great voice.
Thank you.
This has been an ongoing thing. We need to find Will an agent who will get him voiceover job.
Well, just do what you're doing here.
Yeah.
Just keep doing it. Well, make sure that
keep
those,
doing it in my living room.
Yeah. Make sure that your reviews are succinct and cogent. Yeah, you know that I reviewed movies on Entertainment Tonight with Leonard Maltin?
Really?
Yes. When I was I didn't fire, the show just kind of closed, but it was Leonard and I, and they would send a limousine and I would go to the movie and one of them was Black Hawk Down.
Okay.
And I said, this movie desperately needs a fashion show.
It's a good movie, though.
Black, if you like helicopters that crash.
I like Skyfox. That's
no,
my favorite.
Black Hawk Down is an amazing movie. Continue, Will.
On the show next week, we have a terrific filmmaker named Jesse Conweiler.
Yes.
And she has a series online, Dude, Where's My Chutzpah? And that's what it's called.
See,
that's
now
good.
Now I know you're not Jewish. Because you just said, dude, where's my chutzpah?
No, dude where's my chutzpah?
Now
well, see,
I know
I'm
you're
not a
Jewish.
Jew. I just pretend to be a Jew.
You seem so Jewish.
I know, don't I?
She is a hilarious and amazing filmmaker.
And by the way, she's an SGL, and you know how I feel about that.
Semitic good looks.
She's got the Semitic good
looks. Semitic good looks.
Oh. Like I do.
Will is obsessed.
There you go.
I may have to run an interception between Will and Jesse.
Or you may have to look that up. And then the week after that, we have another terrific filmmaker, Aaliyah Pedrias.
Yes.
And he made a film called The Man Who Shook the Hand of Vicente Fernandez, which is going to be playing, opening up on December 7th. And this is a significant film because it is the final performance of Ernest Borgnine.
Really?
So, yeah, it's his final film.
Borgnine's memoir, you know what it's called?
What's it called?
I Don't Want to Heat the World, I Just Want to Warm Up My Nuts a Bit.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah?
Wow.
Well, we're going to talk all about working with Borgnine. It's going to be great.
And talking about the final film Borgnine ever did, it's kind of cool, and you should too.
That is neat, because most people are thinking it's going to be Gattaca, but it's not.
You know, I just want to say something, a joke for me right now.
Yes.
I've never felt more like Eunice Kennedy than ever in my entire life.
Is that the one that Taylor Swift fucked?
Oh, Jesus
and
Christ.
Ethan, Taylor, I want to thank you again.
It was worth it just for
you've
that.
You've done so much for me. And now, Sean, I think you could say the words.
We're finished.
We're finished.
We'll be right back.